about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. We don't have any idea why we're doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. Dot overestimators are an interesting group of people that share many characteristics. Can you believe that? I mean, that's just made up out of whole cloth.
Sure.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Made possible in part by Lakeway Regional Medical Center, providing comprehensive care for complex brain and spine conditions. Today, the psychology of xenophobia.
Two or three years ago, a study was done with infants, I mean, very young children. I don't remember the age exactly. And they were shown two bowls. One had some Cheerios in it, and one had some broken up graham crackers, and they were seeing which one the kid preferred, and the kid made a choice. And then a little bit after that, they were shown a puppet making the same choice. The puppet picked the Cheerios, the puppet picked the graham crackers. And one puppet picked the thing that the kid had chosen, and one puppet picked the other one, right? And these were discernible puppets. And then later on, the kids were asked, which puppet would you like to play with? And something like 80% of the children chose to play with the puppet who picked the same food that the baby had picked. Now, if you think about what all the possibilities are to identify another person, another being, as in your in-group, whatever that happens to be, that seems like a very benign and trivial thing to decide. But we make decisions like this all the time. And when we see people and identify them for whatever reason as being unlike us, we tend to treat them and think of them differently.
I think some of the differences that distinguish us are ones that we all feel are familiar, whether they should distinguish us or not. So if someone speaks with a different accent, then that's a marker that we may share different experiences, we may share different knowledge. And so we think, well, we should be a little bit more careful when talking with this person because they may not understand all the same references that we might make, or they might actually think about the world in a different way. And so it makes sense to use some kinds of cues as a sense that maybe this person is different enough from us that we need to be careful. And we know that whenever we're in a situation where we have to be careful about something, we are also somewhat uncomfortable with that and are likely to impose that discomfort on the person themselves and therefore be maybe not like them as much.
Yeah.
What's fascinating from a psychology standpoint is exactly how arbitrary the groups can be.
Exactly.
And still get these effects.
And you know, I think this thing becomes a problem when the features of an individual that identify them for us with a certain group, whether it's our group or not our group, leads to making generalizations about what we may know of other individuals who are in that group. Now, that's a problem because, of course, generalizations are not inherently unuseful because they're a handy way to help us make quick orientations to a situation we find ourselves in. What's challenging to remember is that generalizations are just that. They're generalizations.
There are two separate issues now that we're talking about, one of which really verges in the direction of stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other verges in the direction of xenophobia.
Mm-hmm.
So the stereotype piece is we are prone to take groups of people and to generalize things about them, which could be positive or could be negative,
sure,
and may or may not be true on average of for the people in that group, even though if there's something that is true on average for the members of a group, that still doesn't mean it's true for every single member of the group, because generally speaking, even when there's an average difference, there's big variation. But on top of that, there's xenophobia.
Yeah.
Meaning, if we think now about in-groups and out-groups, my tendency is to attribute positive characteristics to other members of the in-group and negative characteristics to members of the out-group. And when I find a negative characteristic of members of another in-group member, I go through all sorts of gyrations to make sure that that doesn't stick to the category. So in the current climate, right, we're taping this just a week after the terrorist attacks in Paris that were committed by Muslim extremists. Well, you get a group of Muslim extremists, and there are lots of people who are saying that's indicative of followers of Islam altogether. And they're doing that because it's an out-group, and it's much easier to make that negative attribution stick to all the out-group members.
Right.
And that is one of the big roots of xenophobia.
What we're saying, simply, is that numbers matter, right? I mean, if you have multiple exemplars that either conflict with your expectations about what's identified with some group of people, whatever their identifying marker happens to be, well, now you've got a dissonance in your thinking that has to be resolved in some way. When you encounter people who you would not likely encounter in your life experience, for whatever reason, you now have other pieces of information that are in your head that you have to now deal with, that you don't have to deal with if you don't encounter those people.
You could ask yourself, where do some of the negative associations come in? Because it's not just fear of the unfamiliar. Xenophobia is fear of the foreign. And often you have ideas about the foreign that come from the environment. Now, 25,000 years ago, that environment was largely the other people in your tribe. As we've moved forward, the reach of those of the sources of information has gotten wider. So at some point, we were able to get our information from writings, right? Or, you know, of different kinds. And now we fast forward, you know, to the beginning of the 21st century, and we have all sorts of societal, technologically mediated sources of information that are disrupting the statistics of our environment. And so we're getting messages about in-groups and out-groups and sources of identity from media, for example, who broaden our reach to a near global standpoint. And not only that, but because of the freedom to choose media channels that we have, I may be more influenced by the beliefs and statements and experiences of people who are physically distant from me, but ideologically close to me,
yeah,
than I am by my neighbors, because I spend more time engaging in information exchange with media than I do with the people in my surrounding community.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of guns in public spaces with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.